Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
In this year, 2019, we're talking about shine and various ways that the Holy Scriptures shine to us, the love and the grace of God, the presence of God, the blessing of God. And as we've been going through the Bible, we see that the unifying theme in the whole Bible, beginning at the beginning, you know, God creates the heavens and the earth. God then, on the day, that first day of sin, he provides already then a promise for forgiveness. And then he works that promise out through the major events, the major characters of the Bible, such things as like the tabernacle and what God reveals to Moses for the people and the sacrifices that are made and so many things in the words of the prophets that do both a call to the people to repent, but along with that, the promise of God's forgiveness and the embrace of his grace. And then that comes to a very sharp, pointed focus when the coming of, with the coming of Jesus Christ, who is the complete and the fullest expression of the grace of God. We looked not only at his birth, his baptism, his temptations, his ministry career, including his parables, his miracles, and his transfiguration, and then his arrest, his trial. Then we looked at his crucifixion, and then we rejoiced in his glorious resurrection. And now, what does that really mean for us in our lives today? Today we're going to be looking at one particular aspect of it, and that is about grace, which is that unifying theme in the Word of God. And I kind of like to lead in with telling you about something that I once saw out of the corner of my eye. What was I doing? Well, I was in front of a bunch of people. I was teaching a new member class. And I would go through all the basic things about, what does the Bible teach about this. But again, we came to that point that excites me the most, talking about the grace of God, about that plan of salvation. And as I'm going on, I talked about, yes, it is on, it isn't anything that we could earn, nothing we could ever deserve. It is all on account of what Jesus Christ did in his perfect life, in his suffering and death on our behalf, in our place, his glorious resurrection, and he's going to come again. He's going to take his kids home with them. And he forgives all of our sins, and he calls us the sons and daughters of God. We are given into that privileged position. In fact, John writes about that, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. What an incredible expression of that thing that is called grace, unearned, unmerited. But what do we deserve? Well, another place in Romans it says that that the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. If we were to get our earnings, it would be death, which would be, the final thing is ultimate, complete, total, eternal separation away from God. But the gift of God, the free gift, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's also a special privilege to talk about that, to teach that, to witness to people, encourage people with those words, because that means things can be right. We can be back in God's good graces once again. Okay, well, what was happening in the corner of my eye while I was teaching? I kind of caught the expression of a lady who was there. Now, she had just recently married a man in my church, and she was kind of interested in, what kind of a faith did he have? What kind of a church was that really all about? And she had been raised in a church that would call kind of legalistic. you know, legalistic, all kinds of rules, this, don't do that. And, you know, it's really all about that list of rules. And boy, if you don't the do's and you do the don'ts, you are in really, really deep trouble. Yeah, Jesus came, but boy, aren't you just so terribly ashamed? And, you know, you're going to have to really work hard to get in on his good side. And then maybe, just maybe, you're never really sure, did I do enough good to get there? Am I, when I die, will I go to heaven? Unfortunately, there are way too many people that have that kind of thinking, which is, you know, 180 degrees wrong. And we're going to find out why indeed that is wrong. So what did I see? As I'm going on, I saw that the kind of that modest interest in what I was saying began to be like a fascination. Eyes got wide open, her mouth, you know, agape, and you could then sense relief and joy and freedom coming all over her. And after the class, and I was asking her some questions because did I read it right, the body language? And she said, yes. I know now that I am right with God. I am forgiven of my sins, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But you see, for people on that other side of it, grace is a little bit like a foreign language, not quite understanding it, what it is. I will venture to say this, that grace is the best good news that you will ever hear in your life. For this lady, the light bulb went on, and grace can be a life-changing encounter with the love of God. It's the best news you'll ever hear, a life-transforming truth. Well, I want you to look at that word grace. On the back of your bulletin, where the sermon notes are, you can find GRACE in that vertical column. But we got to fill in that blank because each one of the letters stands for something. It gives us an explanation of what grace is. And so that first G, that stands for God's. That's the possessive, apostrophe S. The R stands for riches. By the way, I hope you all know this already. And if you don't, I guarantee this is a great way to understand it. In fact, to share it with someone that you want to tell about the grace of God. A is for at. The C is for Christ's. Okay, again, apostrophe S. And then the E is expense. Okay, somebody had to pay. You know, we get the riches. Somebody had to pay for it. And that's what Jesus did. So, obviously, on account of this, we'd have to say this about grace. Grace is, first of all, it is a gift from God. The second point I want to make, then, is that it is a gift to you. And then, thirdly, is that it is a gift to re-gift or to share with someone else. Okay. Now, grace is a gift from God. So, someone comes up and says, oh, it's your birthday. I have a gift for you. So beautifully wrapped up and ribbons on it, all that. You know, it just looks so nice. Shake it and say, I think it sounds like something that I would really like. And so they hand me the gift and then they say, oh, by the way, that'll be $50. Was that a gift? No, because I paid for it. I paid for it. Or let's say at the end of the week, the boss says, here's your paycheck. It's a gift. Well, unless I'm some kind of a lazy, no-good worker, it isn't a gift. I earned it. I earned it. And I have a right to it. I have a right to expect it. But grace isn't like that. Grace is different. Or my kids, back when they were teenagers, they would come up and say, hey, where are you going? I said, oh, Dad, we're going out shopping for your birthday present. Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah, Dad, can I take your credit card? Okay. I really would be paying for that. It wouldn't be a gift. A gift is something that is free. But the gift we're talking about here, which is the grace gift, is highly costly. The most expensive thing in the whole world. As a matter of fact, you'd never be able to afford it. You can never do enough to get it. It has to be given. That's the only choice that's left. It's got to be free. But it's costly. It costs someone something. Okay, God's riches at whose expense? Christ's expense. Okay, is the picture beginning to form a little bit for you? Now, It is a free gift. Now, let's say not only does it give us forgiveness of sins, it cleanses us from that unrighteousness. So the kid is sitting in the high chair, takes that bowl of cereal, oh, and it goes all over. And the kid, you know, is being a little bit rebellious. Mom says, you know what? I forgive you. And not only is the child forgiven, then mom cleans it up and cleans up the child. So forgiveness and cleansing. And the mom wouldn't have had to do that, but if it was going to get done, you know, someone was going to have to do it. And she cleans it up. I mess up, God cleans up. That's grace. And it's all his effort, his work, his expense. And with that, he gives to me not only forgiveness, but adoption into his family. You are now my kid. You belong to me. And there's a personal relationship with him that he knows me intimately, entirely, and I get to know him more and more. And he is my heavenly father. And that gift, it's a gift, and it's absolutely free. Now, the next point is we got to be a little bit more focused about that gift. The next point is that this gift is a gift to you. Do you know that it's that package that's got your name on it? Now, when you think of John 3:16, it says that whosoever believeth in him, you are whosoever. You are whosoever. If you are believing in him, you are whosoever. But we got to take that a step further. Your name is there. And if you take John 3:16, instead of saying whosoever, put your name in there. That personalizes it, and it's a gift that is actually meant for you. So how do you get it? Well, to qualify, you first have to be a sinner. Is there anybody here who doesn't qualify? Okay, if the Bible is right, and it is, we all qualify because we are all sinners. You have to need it in order to qualify to get it. You can't buy it yourself. You can't earn it. It has to be a gift. But a sinner who recognizes his or her own need and spiritual bankruptcy is like being, you know, upside down. What I owe is so much larger than any kind of equity I would have in this deal. In fact, my equity is zero. It all has to be Jesus Christ and him alone. In the cross training groups, you know, that meet during the week, and all these people get together in homes and so forth. And one group meets here and we're talking about Jesus and the Bible and sharing what that good news is all about. And one of the last subjects was the Beatitudes. The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit. When I recognize my spiritual poverty, I don't bring anything to the bargaining table. God has all the chips. And he is the one who makes that determination for me, and he has done that. What is my job? To confess my sin. What's the big deal about that? I mean, because he already knows, doesn't he? And it's probably even more for my sake, facing reality, dealing with truth about me before I can really grasp the truth about God and his grace. So confessing and then simply trusting. And he will not count my sin against me because he can't. He can't. It was already paid for. That would be illegal, according to God's law, for God to withhold forgiveness for the one who repents, who confesses, and places trust in Jesus Christ. So grace is not something that's about my character, because my character is deficient. It is something about God's character, which, while he is a holy God and cannot stand in the presence of sin, I cannot even look upon it, yet he placed all that sin upon Jesus Christ so that he could offer to me forgiveness. It's all about the character of God, not mine. Now, it is meant for you. And when we distribute communion, we like to say, for you, for you. When we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but use your name as you are being baptized. So, you know, God's grace very personally applied to you, for you. And that he actually, can you believe that he literally means it? He means you. Now, that's pretty nice because you don't have to go around beating yourself up when you mess up. Now, isn't that the human tendency? Either we try to blame somebody else or our circumstances, and then the other side of that very same coin is that we beat ourselves up. Oh, man, I am so terrible. And we just let ourselves go under condemnation. The devil comes along and he likes to add on to it and pile on, pile on, pile on. And, I'm not going to feel good until I feel really, really bad. And it only gets worse. And you're walking in that condemnation, berating yourself, beating yourself up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't forgive yourself, you maybe haven't really understood what grace is all about. And what forgiveness is all about. If we do not forgive ourselves, if we keep beating ourselves up, we are actually trivializing Jesus Christ and the cross. Oh, the cross was really nice, but it wasn't really enough for me to forgive myself. What's wrong with that thinking? Have you ever kind of verged on that at times? Or have you seen people doing that to themselves? You know what? You may have some good news for someone this week. I hope that you can bring that to somebody else. But be gracious to yourself. Forgive yourself. Judas didn't do that. Judas, he realized he had done wrong. And he's beating himself up. In fact, he hangs himself. And he does not accept that God could really, truly forgive him. And he does not forgive himself. And he is lost. It's God's gift to you, and he means it. But it's a gift not just to keep to yourself. That's cool. You get to share it. You get to tell other people. You get to be a spreader of life. And maybe you picked up a few things today in the practical world of people that you know that are just not dealing with their faults very well, not dealing with their sin, their sense of alienation, you know, God's really mad at me. You've got something wonderful to share with them. Now, we call this re-gifting. You get a gift, maybe it's some kind of special occasion, but you already have 10 of those, or you really don't like it, and it's all the wrong color, but you can't take it back and return it. What do? You re-gift it, but be sure you don't give it back to the person who gave it to you in the first place. All right, but a little bit of re-gifting. This is what we're doing, but the neat thing about re-gifting with grace is you can give it away, and then you can give the same amount away to someone else, and you can give it away to someone else, and you still have it. That's the multiplication of grace, because grace, you see, is supernatural. If it were some kind of a finite quantity that you would be exhausting, yeah, that's a whole different thing, but it is a gift to share. 1 John 4, John writes about this, and he says that, beloved, if God so loved us, we then ought to love one another. See, the vertical God down to us. Yeah, we worship him back up to him. But he says, but there is a horizontal bar on the cross. Yeah, and that's where we share it with other people. Now, where does that begin? Well, that might begin right at home. Because that's probably where we do our greatest messing up in relationships. It's at home. You know, we get so comfortable with each other, we say some things we shouldn't say. We blame, we try, you know, it really kind of gets a little bit sticky and sometimes pretty nasty at home. Anybody ever, or am I just imagining that? You know, I may be the only one that has a perfect home life. But, okay. But in the home, in the family, extending grace, even against to your enemies. So who's going to go first? Something breaks, you know, it's in the home, it's in the home, a family, it's in the marriage. Who's going to go first? You know what? If you are in Christ, you're going to try to race to get there first. Go to the cross first. Say, I'm sorry. Don't just say, I forgive you before that person, you know, while that person is still obsessed with the thought you were the one that was wrong. Okay. Yeah. Of course they were wrong, but you get the point. Even if you have 90%, if that person has the 90% of the guilt and you only have 10%, you don't give a conditional 90%, I love you, I forgive you. You give 100%. You take the lead. You forgive, you love, you respect. Paul had something to say about that. Let's see what he had to say in Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have this one memorized, take that sermon outline home with you and cut that one out. Stick it on your shaving mirror, your makeup mirror or something, and then see if maybe God doesn't put something in your life this week where you had to use that. That's it. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Just like God forgave you. Well, there's some incredible examples in the Bible. Let me just share a couple of them. One, you remember Joseph. He was one of the brothers of the 12. He was the one that the older brothers hated. They figured that Dad favored him, and Dad gave him that wonderful coat. And they also noticed that he had a kind of special relationship with God because he would reveal things in dreams to Joseph. And then he would, if the brothers were messing around doing things that they shouldn't when they were out there taking care of the sheep or out in the fields, the word would get back to Dad, and they say, tattletale, tattletale. We hate him. Everybody hates Joseph. We're all going to hate Joseph, right? And when Joseph comes, where's that dreamer? Hey, got an idea. Let's kill him. All right. Well, one of the brothers said, hey, I got an even better idea. Killing, it only hurt him for a little bit. But if he is sold and becomes a slave in a faraway country like Egypt, wow, then we've really got him. So they put him down in a pit and keep him there until there's a caravan that's coming by of Midianites, and the Midianites are on their way to Egypt. They sell their brother. Now they got some handy cash there, and a good price for him. Ends up in Egypt. He is falsely accused of something. He ends up in prison, et cetera, et cetera. But you know how the story goes on, because Joseph apparently has a pretty good attitude. And he becomes second in command in the whole kingdom of Egypt and is in charge of all the distribution of the food and the grain while the rest of the world seems to be in a terrible drought and famine. His brothers come from the land of the Canaanites and they want to buy grain. He's got them. He can get even. What an opportunity. Do not pass by this one. So what does he do? You know the end of the story. He forgives them. Huh? Yeah. So who's the one that had to pay the expense of this forgiveness? They got off free. He bore, you know, in his own suffering, he bore the cost of that. But he forgave, he extended, and that is actually grace. It was at his own expense. Jesus tells a parable about a man whose servant owes him a great deal of money. So he's the master, he's got a lot, but this man owes him so much. In fact, if he could only get him to repay, he could catch up on all of his debts and have a little money to live on. But the servant comes, and by the way, If he gave everything he ever earned for all the rest of the days of his life, he would not be able to pay off the debt. So the master says, pay up what you owe. Gets down on his knees. Oh, please, please, please. Give me a little more time. You know, what's that going to do? Kick the can down the road? Not going to help at all. Please have mercy on me. And he has mercy. He extends grace. And so, at his own expense, that servant's debt is released. It's released. But now, what's important is that matter of the re-gifting. Now, you get this opportunity now to re-gift. So what a great chance this guy has to actually to show how wonderful his master was, because there's another servant who owed him a little bit, just a little bit. And he grabs him by the throat and has him arrested, you know, takes him to court for the payment, can't pay it, has his wife and children sold, etc. This is not re-gifting. This is not extending grace. You know, we prayed in a prayer this morning, forgive us our trespasses, means our sins. We're saying that to God. as we forgive those who sin against us. Okay? We're saying to God, okay, God, you look at how I forgive other people. You look at how I re-gift, how I grace other people. That's how I want you to forgive me. Now, if you're hanging on to some unforgiveness somewhere, you're in a little bit of a trouble, aren't you? You got a little issue going on here. Because, you see, when we withhold forgiveness, who is the one who is suffering the most? The unforgiving one. Not the unforgiven, but the unforgiving. You're the one, and then you are holding something toxic and caustic in your hands, and it's eating away, and it's eating away. It's taking your heart away. It's not a good thing. You know, at a certain point, because maybe even today, God's dealing with you. He's dealing with an issue in your life, and he is saying, forgive. But, God, no buts. I just say, forgive. But what if they don't? I just said, forgive. You see, unless you grace re-gifting another person and forgive, then you are not going to be a free person. You are not. See, God made your heart for love. He made it for peace. He made it for grace. He made it for joy. He made it for wholeness. And when you fail to forgive, you do not experience what God created you for. And they go around with that sense of, I really don't know who I am. I really don't have that peace in my life. That may be an issue in your life somewhere. Now, grace kind of comes down to a no matter what kind of a deal. Like a parent saying to a child, I love you. Period. You cannot make me love you less by what you do. In fact, you can't make me love you more. I already love you, totally. However, you can break my heart, but you cannot break my love. Now, I think about children who've come out of abused situations, and they got a lot of wounds in them. And maybe they're even taken away from that home by the courts and they're placed as foster homes or possibly even adopted in another home. There's going to be a kind of a struggle because as they will then push at those edges, where are the boundaries? Where are the boundaries? Where are the boundaries? And expect that they're going to go past the boundary and be rejected because that's what always has happened. They're going to be punished so severely, they're going to be shamed so totally, they're going to be, you know, denigrated, pushed down, pushed down, pushed down. And then you keep on loving, and you keep on forgiving, and you keep on. Wow. I'm not saying you don't discipline, but there is a great discipline in love. We can deal with that another time, but keep that in mind. Because, see, God loves us incredibly, but God does discipline us at times, too. Well, it seems almost as if that grace is too good to be true. They have a hard time believing it. There was a guy named Fred. Fred would always mess up. And then maybe about once or every week or two, he'd come in, Pastor, I got to fess up. I messed up. And so he would, you know, hold on, I'm such a terrible person. You know, why did I do it again? And this and that. And you don't know the half of it, Pastor. And when I was young, I did this and that and so forth. And I'm just a terrible husband. And I'm a compulsive spender. And I just, I'm a hoarder. And did you know that Jesus died for you? You know, this is grace offered, grace. He says, Pastor, that's too good to be true. And he just had such a hard time letting himself be free. As a matter of fact, he was doing that beating himself up, because he knew he deserved it. He was condemning himself, and the devil was pushing the accelerator. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, you know, it might even be good to take your own life, and then everybody else would be happier. The good thing is, before he died, he said, by the way, Pastor, I finally get it. I understand what Jesus did for me. And as a matter of fact, I don't just understand it. It's so deep in my heart. Too good to be true? No. It is true. And for no reason. What is in you that motivated God to so love you? It's your need. It's your need. That's what motivated him. So my daughter Rachel, she's about 2 years old. Time to sing the night-night songs and read the Bible story and another story and then another book and then some more questions and answers and, Daddy, I need a drink. So anyway, we're spending one of those typical, daddy-daughter kinds of times. And I want to just kind of check her out on some things. Rachel, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Daddy. Don't be silly. I love you. I said, why? Why do you love me? And she said, no reason. No reason. And it was so beautiful because it was a pure love. And that's the kind of love that God has for us. And did you know that when God comes to dwell in us, Jesus lives in your heart. Do you know that he brings that kind of love? Do you know that if you are in Christ Jesus, that love is somewhere in you. It is in you. Yeah. It's not your own. I mean, you didn't make it, but he says, I'm giving you. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So just simply use it. You've got it. Use it. Forgive. Yeah. Sin, yes. Sin brings us guilt, deserves punishment, deserves rejection. But what did Jesus do for us on the cross? He took what we deserved. He was rejected. In fact, I want you to, again, I'm talking about memorizing something. Now, it's in your notes, and you can take that home. You can cut that out and put it someplace. But it's Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe for people who owed a debt they could not pay. Does that sound like God's riches at Christ's expense? Does that sound like grace to you? Does that sound like something that could make a difference in your life, like day by day, moment by moment, living in the glow and the joy of that grace is something from God. Faith now connects us to God and to his grace. Next week, you're going to hear a message about faith, about that connecting point. But you know what? You don't have to wait until next week to exercise faith. And maybe, as you've never done before, you're just going to say to Jesus, Jesus, I just want to trust you more and more. I've halfway trusted you, and sometimes even 80% trusted you. But Lord, I want 100% trust in it. Let your Holy Spirit bring that into my life. And see, God is going to convey that grace to you. He's going to convey that grace. He is conveying it in the word of his word for us today. He is going to be conveying that at his table because this is a table of grace. And then that is a very strong statement that says, you're welcome at my table. I accept you. You are welcome. Come, receive what you never earned without price, without money. My body, my blood. Here we believe just what the words of Scripture say. We don't try to, give it a big explanation or anything like that, but just take what Jesus said. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. What deeper, stronger connecting point can there be than that which he brings and he offers to us? Yes, grace is a gift from God. Grace is a gift for you. Grace is a gift to share, to be re-gifted. Well, the Apostle Paul starts his letter to the Ephesian Christians with these words. I'm going to use these words to end this. And it's grace to you. Get it? Grace to you. And with that grace comes peace. And it is from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is for you. Now, you can tell others it's really okay.